future, but
Sarah Kay is a spoken word artist, teacher, and author. She's performed her poetry around the country, including at the Lincoln Center and the United Nations. Her TED Talk has also been viewed by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Sarah is also the co-director of Project Voice, a program which teaches spoken word poetry in schools around the world. Last week, she stopped in East Lansing for a workshop at the Residential College of the Arts and Humanities. She also stopped by Studio S, where she explained how her entrance into the world of spoken word happened under mysterious circumstances.
Poetry has been a part of my life forever and ever, but performance was not a part of my life at all. And I had no background in theater, no real interest in being a performer. I was very self-conscious, had a lot of body image issues, as young girls are wont to have. And when I was 14, I got a letter in the mail that said, "Dear Sarah Kay, you have been registered to compete in the New York Teen Poetry Slam." And to this day, I don't know who registered me for that event.
Fate?
I call it divine intervention. Yeah. You would think at this point someone might have owned up, but
it's
they
been
haven't.
A while.
Yeah, it's been a while, you know. But they haven't, so the world will never know. But I certainly did not sign myself up. My parents, my teachers, nobody knew anything about it. And the only reason I said yes was because I liked poems. And I thought, well, this could be a fun thing to do with poems. And I went to my first poetry slam. And it was immense and very overwhelming. There's probably like, I don't know, 60 kids in the slam, not to mention all of their friends and crew who were there to watch, mainly all men. Or I guess boys, because we were pretty young. So there were only a handful of girls, and it was from 13 to 19. So I was on the younger end of the spectrum, and it was fairly terrifying. I'd really never performed much anything before. And the actual experience of performing my first poem was more awful than not. I was scared. I was shaking. My voice sounded about as bad as it sounds right now. I was kind of sick at the time. So the experience of performing was not particularly enjoyable. But after I was done performing and had sort of breathed my sigh of relief, a girl in the audience came and found me and tapped me on the shoulder, and she was at least 3 years older than I was, and infinitely cooler than I was. And she said, "Hey, I just want you to know I really felt that poem." And that is what I attribute as being the lightning strike that caused me to really fall in love with this art form, is that at the time I had never had an experience like that where something I had created had moved someone enough to reach out and let me know that. And that was a very powerful thing that I wanted to reach out for more of.
I think some people understand spoken word, or when they hear spoken word poetry, they think it's just a written poem that you read out loud. Is there a distinction? And I mean, what makes spoken word spoken word?
So I think all different poets would give you different answers to that question. Mm-hmm. And this is by no means the definitive answer. But the way that I think about spoken word poetry is a poem that needs to be performed. That something about that poem demands that it be taken off the page and witnessed in person. And another way of thinking about that is that if you were to take that poem and leave it on the piece of paper, that it would lack some of the meaning, or you would miss out on something that the poet wanted you to understand. That something about the performance allows you to communicate more of the meaning that you're going for. So, for example, it could be something you do with your voice. It could be something you do with your facial expression, something you do with your hands, your body. All of those are elements that exist in the performance that don't exist when you're writing for the page.
You started the Project Voice at age 17, and it's a movement that encourages young people to engage through spoken word poetry. Why use spoken word poetry as a means to engage with youth?
Well, I fell in love with spoken word poetry when I was 14, and it had such a tremendous effect on my growth and my discovery of identity and my confidence and my empowerment, all of it. I would not be the person I am today at all if I had not discovered this art form. And on a very simple, very, very basic level, it was immensely validating to be 14 and to feel like I could, if I could articulate myself in a creative way about something that I cared about and present it passionately in a way that moved others, I would be rewarded with a room full of people, and oftentimes a room full of adults who would listen to me, which is pretty big when you're 14. And not only would they listen to me, they would clap. And not only would they clap, but sometimes someone would come and find me and say, hey, I really felt that poem. And I think that I cannot emphasize strongly enough how powerful of an experience it was for me, and how I believe that there are plenty of kids who could benefit from that same experience of learning that their voice is valid, that their opinions matter, that someone wants to listen to them, that they are worth celebrating. A lot of that is what I'm going for with Project Voice.
What does opening up and sharing these stories do for a person? I mean, how have you seen people change from doing it, or how do you think you changed from kind of bearing all and becoming a storyteller?
I mean, there's so many benefits. A big one that I talk about, especially in schools, is that it allows us to talk about things that are more personal than a textbook, especially aspects of ourselves and aspects of society that are otherwise often seeped in shame. So a really easy example is divorce, right? In this country, over 50% of kids now have parents who are divorced. And so you would think that because it's such a common experience that we can talk about it openly because everyone knows about it. And yet that is still not the case. For some reason, divorce is still something that is approached with shame and embarrassment. We don't talk about it in public. Often you don't talk about it at all. Sometimes you talk about it with just your parent or your therapist or your best friend, and that's kind of it. But it mainly stays behind closed doors. And what a strange thing to make all these people go through a shared experience alone instead of allowing them to speak about it or encouraging them to speak about it outwardly, so that you have the opportunity to have a young person write a poem about their parents' divorce, share that in front of a room full of their peers, and have those peers go, whoa, I'm experiencing the same thing. I didn't realize I wasn't the only one. And that's a particularly powerful and important thing for young people, is to remember that they aren't alone.
They're not alone.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Sarah Kay, spoken word artist, teacher, and author. We'll continue our conversation after a short break. I'm Emmanuel Berry, and this is Current State Weekend on WKAR. Today we're speaking with spoken word artist Sarah Kay. But before we get back into our interview, I want to play a bit of her poem Hiroshima, which she performed at her TED Talk in 2011.
When I was born, my mom says I looked around the whole hospital room with a stare that said, this? I've done this before. She says I have old eyes. When my grandpa Genji died, I was only 5 years old, but I took my mom by the hand and told her, don't worry, he'll come back as a baby. And yet for someone who's apparently done this already, I still haven't figured anything out yet. My knees still buckle every time I get on a stage. My self-confidence can be measured out in teaspoons, mixed into my poetry, and it still always tastes funny in my mouth. But in Hiroshima, some people were wiped clean away, leaving only a wristwatch or a diary page. So no matter that I have inhibitions to fill all my pockets, I keep trying, hoping that one day I'll write a poem I can be proud to let sit in a museum exhibit as the only proof I existed. My parents named me Sarah, which is a biblical name. In the original story, God told Sarah that she could do something impossible, and she laughed. Because the first Sarah, she didn't know what to do with impossible, and me, well, neither do I, but I see the impossible every day impossible is trying to connect in this world, trying to hold on to others while things are blowing up around you, knowing that while you're speaking, they aren't just waiting for their turn to talk. They hear you. They feel exactly what you feel at the same time that you feel it. It's what I strive for. Every time I open my mouth, that impossible connection. There's this piece of wall in Hiroshima that was
It's a poem that is simultaneously seems personal and accessible at the same time. You're connecting through words. What strategies do you use to create that connection besides just a topic that someone can relate to? Are there other strategies within the writing that you use so that we can kind of step into that world with you?
My father is an amazing artist and a very smart man. And in a lot of ways, I tell people that I write poetry, or I learned to write poetry, the way he photographs. So he's a photographer. And the way that he sees light and shadow and moment and motion and character are kind of the same ways that I see it, but my medium of choice happens to be words, and it's visual. And despite him being, or I guess not despite, in addition to him being an amazing artist and a very smart person, he also is not a very educated man. He didn't go to college. He sort of barely graduated high school. He's very dyslexic. He has a hard time with reading and writing. And I think that just on a practical level, for a long time, he was one of my first audiences. And I loved performing poems for him. And I think it was a goal of mine to never write a poem that would alienate my dad. And then as I've moved forward in the world, and it's less specifically about my father, I do still think that the impulse is I would love to be able to share poems in all different kinds of rooms with all different kinds of people and not have the experience be alienating, but rather have it be welcoming to anyone who is listening. Obviously, I can't control that all the time, but it is something that I work on and that I try for. I think that I always meet people who say, oh, I don't like poetry, or I don't get poetry, or poetry isn't for me. And I think that that just means that they've been led to believe that poetry can only be written by certain types of people, for certain types of people, about very specific subjects. And that's a shame, because I don't think that that's true. I think that the beauty of this art form is that anyone can be a poet, anyone can write poetry, and you can write it about anything you'd like in whatever style suits you. So I usually think that that just means they haven't found the poet for them yet. But certainly, I don't want to increase the number of people who hear poetry and go, oh yeah, see, that's why I don't get it.
Yeah.
I would much rather increase the number of people who hear poetry and go, oh, wait a second. Oh, I kind of dig that. So I think that is definitely an impulse that I have.
So you want to make your poetry accessible and your audience comfortable, but how do you go about yourself being comfortable performing and being on stage?
Man, that is a long process. I do not think I am a natural performer. It does not come organically to me. It has taken many years, a lot of work, and a lot of stages to learn more about myself and my body and my voice and my nerves and my comfort level. So it is a process. You know, I think sometimes people think like, oh, when I'm 30, I'll like wake up and get over my stage fright. And unfortunately, it doesn't quite work that way. You really do have to work at it. It is a process. One thing I will say is that I think nowadays, especially with like high school kids or college kids that are getting into spoken word poetry, a lot of times part of what attracts them to it is this style that is like deeply confessional and very raw and sort of like, you know, therapy through spoken word poetry. And that is wonderful and important, but it's also just one part of the art form, or can be one part of the art form. There's other reasons to write poetry. There's other styles to do it in. But what I have noticed is that when people write poetry that is particularly raw, sometimes they think that the more raw they go, the better the poem. And that is not always the case. And something that I tell people that are moving in that direction is there is a difference between private and personal. Things that are private are private for a reason. You don't want to share them with anybody. That doesn't mean you shouldn't write that poem. You should absolutely write that poem. But maybe it means that you're not ready to share it with the world out loud, which is okay. You can write a poem just for you and just for your own processing and your own experience and your own writing. But if sharing a poem makes you traumatized, makes you have anxiety, puts you in emotional or mental danger, or endangers your audience, that is not doing anybody any good.
Yeah.
You know, whereas personal is something that is personal to you, but you have decided, yeah, I want to share this with the world. I'm ready to start having conversations about this. I think someone else that is experiencing this might also want to hear this. I think I can contribute to someone else's experience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is definitely a reason to perform it when it excites you and you want to share it. But don't share something if you're not ready to and it's not right for you.
I imagine that since being 14 years old and writing about, you know, your angst, that the type of poetry or the subjects you're interested in have changed. How have they changed?
When I was a kid, I was most often surrounded by boys. So I'm very close with my little brother. I said I'm close with my dad. All of my best friends were boys. And so it took me a very long time to wrap my head around the idea that I was one day going to be a woman. And it was very hard for me to understand. And it took me a long time to accept that, and then it took me even longer than that to be ready to talk about it or write about it in any way. And so something that's very new to me is thinking about and struggling with and trying to navigate womanness. That's something that was not a part of my early poetry. Although weirdly, when I said that to someone recently, they said, that surprises me because I think your poetry, your older poetry is so gendered that it is like so much from a young girl, which I don't know if that's true or not. That's just the opinion of one person. But I found that surprising because to me, it's only recently that that gender has started to really play a part in what I'm thinking about.
Well, Sarah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Sarah Kay is a spoken word artist, teacher, and author. She's performed her poetry around the country. She's also the co-founder of Project Voice.